Today we're in part four of our series, Joseph. I want us to open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 39, and we're going to read verse 1 through 5. I'm going to turn off this fan quickly. We had water all over the stage, and we had like 5 minutes to prepare for the second service, which is a good problem to have. All right. Are you ready to read? Let's do it. When Joseph was taken, see that word is bold? We're going to focus on that. When Joseph was taken to Egypt by Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar. Slavery was normal in those days, and you can buy a slave for 20, a good one, for 20 pieces of silver. Now, it wasn't God's plan for slavery. God is totally against one person enslaving or dominating or ruling over another person. I'll prove it to you that human beings were not supposed to be slaves. Slave is a sin idea, not God idea. You were created in the image of God, and God created you free to be physically free, spiritually free, mentally free, free of everything. God called us to be free. Jesus said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So when God comes into your life, He brings freedom into your and mine life. When God created Adam and Eve, the first thing He said was, be fruitful and multiply. I don't think before God said that, before God spoke that over their life, Adam and Eve had sex. Remember, God created everything by the word of His mouth. So when God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, suddenly a drive appeared in the heart of Adam. And Adam went, whoa, Eve, you look hot today. Sorry, I'm using the word hot today because somebody gets mad and like, I'm done with the church. He says hot. That's the word we use. Yeah, we just describe things. So don't be mad at me, please. Blame it on the accent or something. I don't know. He doesn't know any better. He's a foreigner. Blame it on that. But God said, be fruitful and multiply. And Adam went, whoa, Eve, I love your clothes you're wearing. She wasn't wearing any. That was one thing, right? God said it. And the second thing God said in that blessing, fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the earth. That's a desire of every man for property ownership. God wanted you to have a piece of property on this earth. And here's what Satan wants to do. He wants to destroy those two things. He wants to destroy your sexuality and your relationship between husband and wife. And he wants to destroy ownership of land. If he can destroy your family, he can take away your land. Land is a part of the blessing that God has given us. Every man should have land, and every man should build a small castle on it and have dominion over that land. Notice the farther we get from God, we lose land and we lose family. The closer we get to God, God wants to restore the things that He already commanded into our life. And that's proper sexuality and ownership of land. But here we see Joseph was taken as a slave and was purchased by Potiphar, who was a captain or prince of the guard of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. No man was supposed to be sold or purchased. It's a sin idea. And Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Why 30? I think there was inflation. So you couldn't buy a slave for 20 anymore. You had to. And I'm not making fun of that because our nation is still recovering from our ancestors. That's how grievous of sin it is. That's how horrible of a sin slavery is. You were not. We were not supposed to have that. And when Jesus came, it was normal slavery. And He said, I have come to set the captives free. I have come to bring liberty and proclaim liberty. Now, why did it take 2,000 years for us to actually abolish slavery? Well, because people are slow and their hearts are hard. Okay? But Jesus said, in Jesus Christ, there is no more Greek, Jew, barbarian, slave, or free. We're all one in Christ. We're all made in the image of God. We all have the same Creator, God the Father. And so that's what He came to restore. He came to restore our relationship with our Father. And so Joseph is a slave. You don't treat slaves well. I heard when you go to prison, The first 3 months are like the hardest. You don't know anything and they treat you bad. Everybody wants to take advantage of you. Other prisoners want to take advantage of you. And so does other, guards. They want to abuse you and use you and call you a different name. When you even go to army, they try to break you, right? The first month or basic training, 2 months, they want to break you. What do you think they were doing to slaves? See, a lot of times we think Joseph went to Potiphar's house. He was sold as a slave. And next day he started ruling over the Potiphar's house. No, he had to go through all those different stages of abuse and harassment and belittlement. Nobody put him at the Potiphar's table right away and gave him the key to Potiphar's mansion, Potiphar's villa. No, he was abused. He was broken. And yet, watch this, and the Lord was with Joseph. If you don't look at that right, you will think that Joseph had some special favor with the Lord. Not true. And I will explain it to you. What does it mean for the Lord to be with you? Because I know everyone here wants the Lord to be with us. I want the Lord to be with me. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. A slave succeeding. Verse 3. All right. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with him. You know, it says 5 times in this chapter that the Lord was with Joseph, more than any of other people in the Bible. The Lord was with Joseph. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. I want that. I want that. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. He's 17. Maybe he's 19 or 20 by this time. From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless not just Joseph, but Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs ran smoothly and his crops and livestock flourished. Do we have verse 6 or no? No, okay. And here's what the verse 6 says. Potiphar didn't worry about anything except the food he was going to eat. And as a man, I can understand that. I can let you do everything, clean the house, do all that, but I choose what I eat. I know what I want. So that's the only thing that Potiphar was worried about was the food. Joseph took care of the rest. I want to talk to you on a topic called how to succeed in Potiphar's house. Let's put verse 1 back on the screen. When Joseph was taken to Egypt, can I present to you the idea that Joseph didn't want to go to Egypt? It wasn't his idea. He didn't agree to it. He was taken to Egypt. He was perfectly fine living in Canaan with his brothers and his father and all that entailed. He knew the language, culture, customs, and he was familiar with his surroundings. Everyone knew Joseph, and Joseph knew everybody. And one day, his life changes forever. He gets taken by force against his will to the place where he doesn't want to go. I want to ask you all a question. Have you ever been taken by life somewhere that you didn't want to go? Have you ever been taken by life somewhere where you didn't want to go? You didn't want for your family to break up and get a divorce. But life sometimes is a way of taking us places. I didn't want to be sick. I didn't want to get cancer. But life doesn't ask us, right? I didn't want to have bankruptcy. Why am I here? Because life sometimes takes us places we don't want to go. I didn't want to be a single parent, single mother, single father. Maybe that's what you're saying today. But why am I here? I don't want to be separated from my kids. But life took me here. I didn't want panic attacks. I didn't want anxiety. I didn't want to be depressed. Why am I here? Why did life take me there? And I think that's what Joseph was thinking. He was taken against his will. And life will do that to you sometimes. Can I hear somebody say amen? Amen. Amen. Life will take you there sometimes. I didn't want to move, but I had to. Sometimes it's our own choices that lead us to Egypt. And sometimes it has nothing to do with our choices. But it doesn't matter if it's your choice or not choice. You ended up in a place where you didn't want to go. And so you can say, I was taken somewhere. I was taken somewhere. And that's what Joseph was feeling. He was taken somewhere. Sometimes life feels like a river. When you jump into that river, it will take you where you don't want to go. It just takes you where it wants to take you. Have anybody here been in Yellowstone? Okay. I made a mistake. I went into the water in the river. And I thought I could resist the water. And it wasn't that fast of a water. It was a slow-moving river. And I couldn't stand in one spot because the water, and my son was smaller, and the water just started taking him. And early in the day, we wanted to go into the faster moving water. That would have been a huge mistake. But life is sometimes like that. It takes you to where you don't want to go. How do you survive that? How do you survive? Bad things happening to you could end you or could be the new beginning. See, that's what happened to Joseph. It could have ended him or it created a new beginning. You could say when life doesn't turn out the way you want it to be, you can say, I'm done with this life. I'm going to give up and sit on a couch and drink myself to death, medicate myself to death, drug myself to death. Come on, somebody, right? Or I can say that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I believe that's what Joseph said. I believe that's what Joseph was saying. I know life hasn't been fair. I didn't do anything wrong. And now I was taken by force. But I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Do you easily give up on life when things get hard? I want to say that you have power within you. You have power of the Holy Spirit. Do you hear me over here? You have power of the Holy Spirit that lives in you. And if you start confessing that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, you can do what you say you can do. Life and death is in the power of your mouth. And we say what we believe. So what are you saying? We'll always be broke. American dream is dead, will never succeed. Or are you saying that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength? If you wait for your opportunities to change in order to be happy, you will never be happy. Because happiness happens here. You confess it. You want to know the secret to life? It's what you say and play in here every day of your life. Do you play a victim? And maybe what they did to you was really bad. But you can choose what you do in Potiphar's house. You can give up and allow yourself to be beaten up to the ground. Or you can rise up and say, God is with me. You know who I am. I don't care what condition I'm in. I don't care where you put me. I don't care what names you call me. I don't care if there's racism in this country. I am going to succeed. Because God is with me. I'm going to. Because I can do it. It doesn't matter what's stacked against me. It doesn't matter what neighborhood I grew up in. It doesn't matter what my family looks like. Joseph had rapists, incest, murderers in his family. How did he turn out so good? God. How are you going to turn out differently from now on? God. Why is your family going to succeed? God. Why is your business going to succeed? God. Why is your children going to serve God? God. That's it. You're different. You have power living with you. You just have to turn the switch on. And sometimes you have to turn that switch on 100 times a day. Sometimes, you know, a day is beautiful outside and you feel like you're getting depressed. What do you do in those cases? Turn on the switch. I'm blessed. I'm anointed. God is with me. I'm favored by God. All the promises of God is for me. If you can convince yourself of this truth, that you have a great inheritance of joy, love, peace, your mind will do what you tell it to do. Your brain will do what your mind will tell it to do. Let your spirit man tell your physical man what to do. Stop playing the tape that you're nobody, nothing, and you never succeed. Who are you? I'm a child of God. That's a big deal. What do you play? And I tell you this, this is a secret to happiness. Change the tape. Change the tape. Start saying what God says about you instead of what what your own thoughts or the devil uses your thoughts to tell you about you. Sometimes I walk around and I'm not happy. And you know what I say in my head? I'm happy. I'm so happy right now. I'm so happy. And you're like, you're psyching yourself out. Yeah, whatever you call it. I don't care. But when you teach your brain is moldable by your thoughts. And when you say that, you'll be happy. If you say everything is bad, you will. Plus, listen to me. I'm not just saying words. I have the power behind those words. I have Holy Spirit living in my heart. And if you made Jesus Lord of your life, you remember when people raised their hand? What did I tell them? Holy Spirit will come. God will come in and live in their heart. You have the power of the creation of the universe in you. And all you have to do is use it. All you have to do is use it. You're not a victim. I'm victorious. If you feel like I'm depressed, victim, I'm victorious. I'm an awesome guy. Because God is with me. If God is awesome, I'm awesome because He's in me. Arrogance, Pastor, arrogance. No, it's not. No, it's not. My life has changed completely since I understood that words have power. And I can get whatever I speak, whatever I believe. And sometimes you have to speak it 100 times a day. I remember when I felt like a failure, church not growing, God taught me this. He said, say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I said it, nothing happened. He said, say it again. And I would end up walking around Walmart, honest truth, walking around Walmart saying, I can do all things through Christ. I can do. And it didn't happen right away, but one day my brain believed it. What I was saying, my brain believed it. And it was like a light bulb that went on. And it says, yeah, you can do everything. And then it gives you energy. It gives you energy, guys. You were created in the image of God. God created this world with His mouth, with His words. You can create your own life with your own words. If you're saying, I'm going to divorce you when every time your marriage is struggling, you're a fool. Because you are going to divorce, or she'll divorce you. If you say, I don't love you, every time you get emotional at your spouse, I just don't love you, I never did. Fool. You don't do that. You're just preparing the path. You're building blocks to the thing you're saying. Stop saying it. Say, call yourself blessed. Call your family blessed. Call yourself that God is with you. Call your financial future. Whatever you want, you gotta call it. And not just once, sometimes it's 1,000 times a day. Till you believe it, till it becomes you, till you say, yeah, I am blessed. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It never did, and it never will. Sorry, guys. I don't know who is it for, but that was not in the notes. Point number 2, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. Let's talk about that. Why is that important that the Lord was with Joseph? Because no human being is able to do it on their own in this life. No human being is self-sufficient. I know you want to believe, young man, young woman, that you're self-sufficient. You are not. Only God is self-sufficient. Everybody in this room needs somebody or something. Jesse Ventura made fun of Christians one day, and he said, Christians need God and the Bible as a crutch. And I first like, no, we don't, you know. But actually, he was right. We do. Everybody here needs some kind of a crutch. Now, your crutch could be drugs, money, sex. Maybe your crutch is other people. But here's the thing. You were never meant to put the weight of your life on somebody else's life. You'll break the person, or the person will break. The only true support that we can have is God. See, God created us and He made us in His image, but He took something out. He didn't make us like Him, self-sufficient. What is God? Let me give you what God is. God, self-sufficient means He possesses within Himself every quality, ability, and supernatural command. God wants nothing, lacks nothing. He's complete in Himself. You're not that. I am not that. I'm not complete in myself. I need others. And I need Him. So I do need a crutch. So do you. So when it says the Lord was with Joseph, what does that mean? Joseph leaned on the Lord in the hardest years of his life. And this is what's going to make great people of God and strong, powerful people of God. Is in your hard time, do you lean on God or do you run from God? Do you turn towards God or you turn away from Him? Do you say to God, I need you even more at this moment? Who can I rely on? I'm in a foreign nation. I'm a slave. I'm a nobody. I need you. Or you can get bitter and said, I don't need you to be happy. I'm going to escape and make my own way. And somehow I can do it without you. During 9/11, when some people saw what happened and the terrorist attack that happened, some people leaned in on God and said, we need you. Our nation needs you. And some said, I'm done with God. How could he allow that to happen? Joseph could have pushed God away. Do you push God away when things get hard? Or do you lean in? I'm surprised, and this is not a rebuke. This is just pastoral instruction. That when things get bad, many people leave church. Family struggling, the money struggles, they leave church. And you see them like, hey, where you been? And you know what? The same answer, I've been struggling. I'm going through something. Hold on. Hold on. If your car is running out of gas, do you drive farther from the gas station? Or do you get closer to the gas station? It's the same thing. This is your gas station. Come back. When life is hard, get encouraged. Get built up. That's what's going to happen here. Don't run from God. Run closer to Him. And that's what Joseph did. He ran towards God. He leaned on God. He made God his support, his protection, his defense, his wisdom, his decision making. He made God that. Devil wants nothing more than to make things hard in your life and run you away. Let me give you another example. Jesus calls us a flock, he's a shepherd, we're the sheep, right? And he calls us sheep, and sometimes sheep get hurt, right? When you get hurt, the safest place to be is inside of the flock for protection. Because if you separate yourself and you're hurt, you're the easy picking for the wolves. Same thing with believers. When we get hurt, we don't run. We run and sit inside. We get closer to the front. Is that too much instruction? And so Joseph leaned in on God. Because no human being is sufficient in themselves. We were created to have a relationship with God. Created to have a relationship with God. So let me ask you, what are you leaning on today? Are you leaning on your spouse, on your boyfriend, on your girlfriend? Trust me, they cannot handle the weight of your lean. No other human being can hold the weight of another human being by themselves. The only one who was created, who designed life that way is God. God designed you to lean on Him. Who are you leaning on? In that moment, when things are bad, when you are a slave in a Potiphar house, and slave is symbolic for whatever you're going through, the worst thing in your life, who are you leaning on? So the question is, how do I get the Lord to be with me like He was with Joseph? Right? Because I wanted to say, and the Lord was with Alex. Do you want to say that about you? And the Lord was with. I want to live my life, and my children would say, and the Lord was with Alex. And Tanya, of course, were one. The Lord was with them. How do we get there? You want to know how? Because a lot of times we misunderstand. We think that Joseph was special. He was not. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 1 through 2. Write this verse down. Watch what it says. 2 Chronicles, verse 1. The prophet comes to the king, and this is what he says. The Spirit of God was on Azariah, the son of Oded. That's a prophet. He went and met Asa, the king, and said to him, listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when? That was easy. The Lord is with you when you are with Him. If you seek Him, and this is what you're doing here. You didn't come here to listen to my jokes. You came here to see God. You didn't come here for me. You came here for the Spirit of God. And so if you seek him, you are seeking him today. That's why you're listening to me. If you seek him, he will be found by you. Apostle Peter said later, 2,000 years later from here, he says he's not far from any of us. He's around you. You just have to seek him and you'll find him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So what do you think Joseph did? Did he forsake God in a Potiphar's house? Or did he continue to seek God? See, a lot of, don't misunderstand. Here's what I don't want you to understand, because the devil can use this verse against you. He says, but you make mistakes, but you sin sometimes. So God, that turning away from God. No, Joseph sinned too. Joseph was just like any other man. He was a sinner like us. But his heart, his mind was to seek and please God. Joseph's heart was turned to God. And when he failed, when he did great, it didn't matter. His heart was turned towards God. So the Lord is with you when you're with him. So how do you get the Lord to be in your life? Just to seek him. Never stop seeking. When you are failing, when you're succeeding, when you fall into a little temptation, or you're walking strong, and when you feel spiritual, and when you don't feel spiritual, your heart. Wives, you don't always love your husbands, right? Sometimes they're stupid and do crazy things, but you don't like him. Here's the word. You don't like him, but you love them. Sometimes you don't always do what's right with God, but your heart is always towards him. What is it to turn away from God? I had a person I knew, I'm not going to say more, but I knew a person, and he started saying things like, man, I don't need God to be happy. I'm tired of God. And I really think he never knew God. Because once you know God, how can you be tired of God? He's a part of you. He fills the hole that was always there. But he never knew him, so he turned away and he said, I want nothing to do with God. And he started walking away from God. He started cursing God. And he started just hating on everything of God. And today his life is not very good because he turned his back on God. And the Bible says, if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, if you start telling him, I don't need you. I'm good without you. I'm American. We can do it without you. You know, I'm a science. And science is only study of God. That's all it is. It's like you study Ford. But Ford didn't make itself. There was somebody greater. There was Henry Ford. You know, we study the vehicle. Well, there was somebody greater who came up with the vehicle. Vehicle is great, yes. Science is great. Science is a study of creation of God. But who created all that? All those colors, all that beauty. Who did that? God. God. Is that too much? I'm trying to keep it light today. How do you get the Lord to be with you all your life? You seek him all of your life. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, for without faith, let's put that up. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek. What was Joseph doing in Potiphar's house when things were bad? Seeking. What are you doing this morning? Seeking God. You're asking God, speak to me. Through that preacher with an accent. I can't understand him half of the time. But speak to me. Speak to me, Jesus. Joseph was seeking God, and when he was seeking God, God was with Joseph. God is not like demons. Demons come in and they possess a body by force. Nobody wants demons inside. Why did they come in? Because they force themselves. God will never force. God will only be with you when you allow him to be there. When you say, come in, God, come. I want you. And if you say, I don't want you, I'm not going to force you. Okay, let's keep going. This is great stuff. Joseph made God his crutch, his support, his everything. Make God that for you. Make that for you. Verse 3. Let's go to verse 3 and point 3. Genesis 39:3. Potiphar noticed. When God is with you, people notice. Potiphar noticed this and he realized that the Lord was with Joseph. There's something different about you. What is it? When all the other slaves are doing minimum. When everybody's complaining and having bad attitude at work, you're different. Why are you always so full of energy? Why are you so happy? Because the Lord is with me. Why is he with me? Because I'm with him. I got the Lord. We got a relationship going. I'm with him. He's with me. We got a relationship going. And so people start to notice. And you know what? I think Joseph discovered a principle. And later Paul wrote it in Corinthians. He said, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. I think Joseph worked in Potiphar's house when he couldn't benefit nothing from it, like he did it for the Lord. If you start working, even if you work at McDonald's, like you are working for God, but if you have an attitude like you are working for God, things will change. Your boss will notice it. Potiphar noticed that. Among all the other slaves, Potiphar noticed there's something about him. He doesn't complain and he does more than I ask. And Potiphar was an assistant to Pharaoh. He didn't have time. His life was all around Pharaoh, protecting Pharaoh. He didn't want to worry about his own riches and mansions and things. So he put Joseph in there. I can tell you that there's bosses in your work who are looking for good people who they can promote and pay more. But they want good attitude and good work ethic. Good attitude, good work ethic. And so Potiphar noticed this and he realized that the Lord was with. I wonder if Potiphar said, why are you doing all this, Joseph? Why are you doing more than you have to? And Joseph says, I'm not working for you. I'm not working for your mansion. I'm working for God. I'm working in front of audience of one. He's watching everything. And Potiphar's like, wow, I can promote that kind of a guy. Verse 4. This is so beautiful. This pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything that he owned. I'm going to end with this story because I got a minute to go. For the first 11 years of our church, New Life Church, we rented a building from another church. And so we didn't have good hours like 9:30 and 11. On Christmas, we're going to do 3 services. We're going to do 9, 10, and 11, 15. So get ready for that. But we didn't have good hours, so we met like at 2 p.m. Nobody wanted to come to church at 2 p.m. on Sunday. And so we were renting a church, and this church was not very good-looking cosmetically. Didn't have great sound system. Didn't have good microphones. There's always a problem with sound system microphones. The kids' rooms, there was no kids' room because people would bring junk to the church and just drop it in the church like I'm donating this to God. And the donation was so bad we couldn't give it away for free to other people. So there was like rooms filled with junk. There was no kids' church on this side. None. No bathrooms, nothing. Just junk. Old TVs, microwaves, clothes. People would move out, lose a rent, and they would bring all of their furniture and park it on that side and leave it. Or they go to jail and somebody would bring and load that all that kids' church area. And it wasn't a great aesthetically place. There was old wallpaper from 1980s. There was plants from 70s. The cafe was like room, and then there was 3 rooms within that room. The cafe is now. Some of you don't remember that. The lobby, the sanctuary went farther, so there was no lobby. Between cafe and sanctuary, there was no lobby. Sanctuary was like a mile long. And this auditorium was about this wide. So there was about this wide, and the rest of it was storage. And back storage, everything. And one day, we're renting, and God says, I want you to remodel this place. And he said, I want you to use your money. And I said, God, why would I do that? Why can't you give me our own building? Because we're looking. We're online looking. We're talking with realtors. We're looking for a new building for our church because we're renters here. And God said, no, I want you to remodel this place. And I said, and you want us to use our money? My leaders didn't like that very much. That's a stupid investment, investing into somebody else's. It's like you're renting a rental and you remodel that and put $50,000 in. We put $50,000. We changed the whole sound system. We bought projectors. We demolished some walls. We painted everything. We started building all that project over there. There was leaks in the roof. We fixed the leaks in the roof. We changed everything. I mean, we changed the carpet. I mean, we spent thousands and years of labor and money to replace this place. And I remember this one moment. I came to the pastor of that church and I said, we're building those two bathrooms. You know those bathrooms right there you use? And there was no bathrooms there. Everybody had to go downstairs. And older people or people in wheelchairs could not go downstairs. And so I came to the pastor and we're like, we're putting bathrooms in. And the pastor comes to me and says, you know what? I like a bathroom in my office too, a third bathroom. I'm like, that's going to cost a lot more money. She's like, but I like it. A pastor should have their own bathroom. And like, you are just like us. You can use your own bathroom. You can use a bathroom we're all using. We're putting two new bathrooms. We don't have enough money. And you're asking for a bathroom. And that's luxury. And I was like mad inside. I went to the Lord and the Lord said, do what she says. True story. True story. This is not do what she said. So we built the bathrooms. We got done. And in 2013, January, we go on vacation to St. Pete, Florida. But before we went, we're driving. One of our leaders in this church, we found this building. And I'm glad we didn't get it. But we found this building and the realtor was pushing us to make an offer on it. And I wasn't sure because I didn't have any peace, but because it was so hard sharing the same building with two growing families, I said, fine, make an offer. So we made like an offer, I think, of $500,000 on another building. Didn't have the money because we just spent our money remodeling this church that wasn't our own. Stupid business decision. Sometimes God leads you to do stupid things. He does. The things that doesn't make sense. I'm on this vacation. I have no peace because we made an offer and I'm not comfortable with it. I was kind of pressed into it. The realtors, you know, they have a way of of pushing you gently into buying things. And this guy was good. So he pushed us in, and I'm praying on the beach. I said, God, if this is not your will, would you please make him not take the offer? So if you've been in St. Pete's, there's across the St. Pete's beach, there's Chick-fil-A. Val, did you go there? No? Okay, there's Chick-fil-A right across the street from St. Pete's beach. So my wife is on the beach with the kids. I have no peace, so I go and eat. Right? When you're depressed, you go eat. That's what you do. All right, so I go and eat, and I get the waffle fries, large, of course, everything. And I'm sitting there, and I get a call from a pastor of the church that we remodeled. And she says, God told me to put the church on the market. Do you want it? I said, do I want it? I put life and sweat and tears into that building. I dragged volunteers there every week. People don't even answer my phone calls because nobody wants to do anything anymore. Do I want that building? Yeah, I want that building. And then I'm like, but hold on. Can I call you back? We kind of made an offer on another building. And I guess it's by law you have to buy it if you make an offer, right? He knows more. We got realtors in this church. So if you need buy a house, property, God wants you to own land. Anyway, not endorsing. Not endorsing, just. I hang up the phone. I get a call from one of our leaders. He just talked to the realtor, and the realtor said they will not take anything less than $525. And I said, yes, we don't have to buy that building. So long story short, we raise money, we buy the building. This is the building that we were remodeling. And I get the office with my own bathroom. True story, Pastor Andre. And boy, it's nice having an office with your own bathroom, especially on the communion days. It's kind of weird when you go to the bathroom and there's a pastor standing by the urinal and later he's serving you communion. So I said, thank you, Jesus, for the bathroom that I have of my own. Later, that other building called us and said, do you want it for 460? You can have it. They rejected our $500,000, and later they called us and said, do you want it for $460,000? We said, no, we're good. Oh, thank you very much, but no, thank you. God is good. So I know what it is to be tested in somebody else's. Listen, young leaders, I know you're serving in this church and you have big dreams, and those dreams are from God. And so you're like, if I had my own church, I would do this and this. But God is testing you to see how well will you do in somebody else's. Watch this. Last verse, Luke 16, 12 says, and if you are not faithful, this is Jesus, by the way. That's his quote. If you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be entrusted with things of your own? So here's the principle of God. When we are faithful in the places where we have no profit, God is faithful to us. God gave us an amazing building in a downtown Sioux Falls. Don't have to mow the lawn even. The other building had so many mowing to do, so many parking lots. Don't have to clean the parking lot. The city does it. Free parking lot. Don't have to maintain the parking lot. So we can use the money to reach people in our community. We can use the money to help the orphans. You guys just gave a couple of weeks ago, you don't know this, but you gave $2,000 to Honduras to feed the orphans. You guys did that. And I could not be happier with what God has done. And that's what Joseph, this is a principle, spiritual principle of the universe of how to be increased. Be faithful with little. Be the best at little, and God will be faithful to you with more and a lot. Be faithful. Now, don't be foolish. Some people are like taking it to extreme, you know, I'll give everything away. God is not asking you to give everything away. Don't go from one extreme to another. Either you don't give or everything. God is not asking you for everything. The most he's asking you is 10%. Keep 90. God says, if you're faithful, I will be faithful. What did it say in that verse? If you seek him, you will find him. If you turn away from him, I don't want to turn away from him. I want to turn to him. I know what my life would be like without him. I want everybody to stand to their feet.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Sermon Series Online. If you're blessed by these messages and are interested in helping spread the word of God to others, make an investment today. You can give at newlifechurchsf.org. If you have a story or a testimony to share, let us know on our website as well. We hope you have a blessed day and enjoy today's message by Pastor Alex.